Welcome to Ask Pastor John, featuring questions to help you apply God's truth to the issues of this life and the next. Our host is pastor and author John Piper. John, something in the human soul seems to crave control, even in spiritual matters. We want someone to tell us what to do so we can just go do it and get on with life. But when it comes to regeneration, new birth, would you say it's not up to us?
Right. It's no more up to us than my grandson, who was born 2 days ago, than it was up to him to get out of the womb. In other words, birth is something done to us, not something we do. It is something that we react to. And the first cry of the newborn baby in Christ is faith. And so I would never write a book on how to be born again, because that's writing a book for babies on how to get out of the womb. But I would write a book on how to be saved, and that's faith in Jesus Christ. But I've never met a believer, there probably are some, who, when you ask, how did you come to Christ, really wants to take credit for it. I've never talked to anybody who wants to say that they really provided the decisive initiative and the decisive work. Almost every believer, it seems, and I think this is because of God at work in them, even if the theology is not all there, every believer, by virtue of the Spirit within them, wants to give God the credit for saving them, for awakening. So here you have one person listening to the sermon, and their brother sitting next to him listening to the sermon, and one is awakened and sees the spiritual beauty of Christ. The other one looks at the other one like, what's with you? And doesn't see anything. What's going on there? Is that just innate wisdom, innate smarts, innate sensitivity to spiritual things? It's not innate. We're dead in our trespasses and sins, the Bible says, and God makes us alive together with Christ. So God, in his sovereign mercy, put his hand on that person and quickened them, wakened them, caused them to be born of God. And immediately their eyes saw the beauty, their faith reached out and embraced, and that's what they experience. The new birth is the prior, miraculous, subconscious work by which they were enabled to see and savor and embrace. And therefore, we must pray. I'll tell you, I've prayed for my own children, especially one of them who took a detour away from Jesus. And I just prayed, oh God, do a decisive, regenerating work. I didn't pray that God keep his distance and leave it up to my son to come to Christ. I say, break in, crash in, take out the heart of stone, give the heart of tenderness. And that's all new birth prayer. I think we pray for regeneration. We pray for new birth so that people can believe. They don't believe so that they can be born again. They're born unto a living hope so that they can believe. They wouldn't believe if God hadn't broken into their lives, raised them from the dead, given them a new heart, enabled them to see the beauty of Christ.
Do you think that we'll ever resolve this tension between God's sovereignty, man's responsibility, and those who are pulling each way?
Yes. In heaven. I think probably it can be resolved to a significant measure here if you read the very best analyses of it. Jonathan Edwards' Freedom of the Will, his book, The Freedom of the Will, is as good as it gets. And I think Edwards comes to a pretty close solution to how those two things can fit together. But I find, practically, that lay people are not by and large going to read that heavy-duty book, and that we are going to live with mystery in our finiteness, and that we need to make sure that we draw the mystery line in the right place. Now, I find that a lot of people agree that there's mystery. They just don't agree what the mystery is, and you stated it absolutely right. The mystery is not between the sovereignty of God that governs all things, including the will of man, on the one hand, and free will, on the other hand, which has us being absolutely self-determining. That's not the biblical mystery. The biblical mystery is between God, sovereign over all things, governing all things, including the will of man, on the one hand, and our accountability and our responsibility, on the other hand, to will what we ought to will, even though we don't have absolute self-determination. That's the mystery. And I'm willing to live with that because the Bible teaches both of those things.
John, for the listener who admits a need for the new birth, what is the first step in our responsibility? You say it's God's work, but what should our response be to what God has done?
Well, I think if we read Jesus in John 3, where he's talking with Nicodemus about you must be born again, and Nicodemus says, what, in order to enter into my mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus says, what, you're a Jew and you don't understand these things? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In other words, we must be born of the Spirit, not just born the first time out of the womb. And then he says, the Spirit or the wind blows where it wills, and you don't see it, but you see the effect of it. So it is with those who are born of the Spirit. So I think the first response is to say, this is God's work. He blows where he wills. And then if I were talking to that person, I'd say, you know, right now in our conversation, there is evidence that the wind is blowing right now, because you wouldn't be burdened, you wouldn't be concerned, you wouldn't be convicted, you wouldn't be interested if the Spirit were not blowing. And therefore, take this initiative that God has wrought in your life and use it to close with Christ. Come to Christ, come to the cross, and reach out, as it were, by the arms of your heart and your will, and embrace Christ as Savior and Lord. And then you admit, I was got to this point, I was brought to this point by the Spirit of God, and yet now I must use my will, enabled by God, to embrace, to receive, like the Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. So we must receive this Christ in order to have the stamp of adoption and belonging to God put on us. So I would say to the person, come to Christ. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money on that which is not bread? In other words, I would just plead with people, come to Christ as the fountain of living water and the bread of heaven. And when they come, they embrace with faith, they're saved. Their sins are forgiven. They have the hope of eternal life. And they will look back someday and say, I came because he drew me. I came because I was born again. He opened my eyes. He gave me ears to hear. He enabled me to taste and see that the Lord is good.
If you have a question for John Piper, send it to us. The address is radio@desiringgod.org. Radio, R-A-D-I-O, at desiringgod.org. You will also find a wealth of Christ-exalting resources, from free sermons and online books to questions and answers and much more, at www.desiringgod.org.